Well, good morning.
Good
to have you on board. Good to have the sun out there today. All right. That used to mean that it was going to warm up. Doesn't necessarily mean that anymore. Okay. Well, I've got a couple of sign-up sheets I'm going to send around. One, I guess we just need one for 1 week, next week for church cleaning. The other one is for the birthday party for Jesus, some of the food items that we're in need of. So we'll start on opposite sides here. Okay, we'll look at the announcements here in a few minutes. We're going to go ahead and get started with our singing. For the month of December, there's enough Christmas carols to last for the five for every Sunday. So we're just kind of going through them, and hopefully we hit the ones that you like along the way. So, okay, so let's begin here. Chris is going to come and lead us. 127, thou dost leave thy throne. 127.
Well, good morning, everyone. And this is a joyous time of the year when we remember God with us, Emmanuel, when God the Father sent his only begotten Son to come down to earth to die for the sins of all mankind, and whosoever will may come. So if you wouldn't mind standing, we'll sing the first, second, and fifth verse of Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, and sing out with joy. 127.
When thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem so was there found no room for nativity. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for me.
Verse 2.
Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. But a lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and a great humility. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
Verse 5.
When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing and come in victory, let the voice call me home, in that there is room in my side for thee. Our heart's choice, Lord Jesus, there is room.
If you'd like to turn ahead to hymn number 131, and we'll sing all four verses, please. Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Worship, worship, worship Christ, the newborn King.
Third,
sages lead your contemplations, brighter visions be afar. Seek the pretty sire of nations, he have seen his natal star.
Fourth verse.
Saints, before the altar ended, watching long with hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descended, in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, worship Christ.
Good singing. You may be seated.
That song describes what I was kind of thinking about, you know. The angels, they've seen Jesus in a number of different backgrounds, if you will. As it mentions here, they were there when creation took place, and observing the Lord Jesus as the creation came about, seeing him in his glory there in heaven, and for those hundreds of years. And then we see here too how he came into this world as a baby, to see that transformation that took place. And even as they appeared to the shepherds and the kind of the angelic choir. You know, one of these days, we're going to get to be with those angels. And we're going to get to be with Jesus. Pretty awesome, you know, when you stop to think about it. It won't be just something we sing about or we read about or maybe envision from some pictures somehow or another, but to actually be there and to experience it all. Well, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus did see fit to come into this world, to come in as a baby, but ultimately for his purpose of dying there on the cross, to shed his blood, to provide cleansing of sin, forgiveness for our sins, for all who choose to believe. And so we go from the thinking about the baby Jesus to the cross. And you can't have one without the other. They're vitally connected. And as we look at Scripture here today with our communion, does anybody need one of these yet? Everybody got one? Okay, all right. We'll give you a minute here to get started on it. Okay. All right. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and how Paul shares with these Corinthian believers what the Lord had given to him and about that Last Supper, about the time which Jesus shares with them what is about to take place and the significance of it all. And he says there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Let's ask a blessing on the bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for what it represents, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he was willing to lay down his life to be our sacrifice, to be our substitute, to die on that cross. Your word tells us the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die because of our sin, and yet Christ willingly went to the cross in our place. And we thank you for, again, his broken body that he gave for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We see after the same manner, he also took the cup. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this cup, what it represents, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your word tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It's something that you designed, and you said it was the shed blood of a perfect sacrifice, and not of blood of bulls and goats or some other animal, but of your own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that his blood is able to cleanse away all of our sin, past, present, future, for all of mankind who will place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And so we thank you for the power that's in that shed blood. In Jesus' name, amen. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You think about that? One of these days, one of these communion services will be our last communion. You know, you hear people talking about people's first communion. Well, probably the last communion is the important one. Because either the Lord's going to take us home, or he's going to take us all home. Right? What a day that will be. All right. Great things in store that God has in mind for us. Let's see here. Announcements. Okay. So the main thing coming up here is on the 18th, during the Sunday school hour. For some of you, you're going to have to set your alarm clock a little bit earlier, okay? But we'd like for you to be here by 9:15, and the children are going to be sharing some Christmas music with us, and after that, we'll go downstairs and have a birthday party for Jesus. And again, there's that food item things going around. You might sign up for that, but plan to be with us, especially then on the 18th, and invite some others to come along with you. All right. Oh, I did want to mention, there's some, you'll find some Christmas tracts out there on the table. And then downstairs, kind of at the bottom of the stairs, there's the tract on the wall. The bottom two rows, I think, are all Christmas tracts, all different ones. So there's a lot of different tracts out there. So you might pick up some of those and give them to people. You may find that people are a bit more receptive to this sort of giving them a track and encourage them to read it this time of the year than maybe they would some other time of the year. Also, I think these are out there on the table. It's a little bit bigger. It's a little pamphlet. It says The Peace and Promise of Christmas. And it's kind of like a daily bread, only it's 10 of them zeroed in just on Christmas. Okay? So it gives them a little bit of a story along with scripture and other things, and you might pick some of those up and hand those out to others as well. So, all right, I think that's it. Ready to sing some more here, okay? How about that little town of Bethlehem, huh? 141.
Not that long ago, Patty and I went to Israel, and we saw those shepherds' fields. And can you imagine a God in heaven where the seraphs, when they said, "Holy, holy, holy," that the doorpost shook of God's temple, and yet God came down and he was laid in a manger. Most people don't know what a manger is, but it's a dirty, filthy animal feeding trough, usually hewed out of solid stone, and most likely a cave over that. How great our God is in the love that he had for mankind. So if you wouldn't mind standing, and we'll sing all four verses of "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Stars go by, yet in thy dark sweet shine, the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above.
Turn back a few pages to hymn number 135, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks." We'll sing the first, second, and last verse, please. Children said,
"Amen."
May be seated.
Okay, Junior Church, young people are dismissed. There is an outline if you'd like to use that, follow along with us here today. We take a little bit of a closer look at Joseph. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word, its truth. As we review again some of those early events prior to Christ coming into this world, the people that were involved, help us to learn some truths and principles that we can apply to our own lives. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel message. We pray that you might motivate us to be sharing that good news with people around about us. The good news is not a sale at some store, but the good news that can change people's destiny from hell to heaven. So we pray that you'd give us boldness to speak up and share with people while they can still make that decision to trust Christ for salvation. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So lessons from that we can learn from Joseph. You may have had this question posed to you or still will before December 25th. Are you ready for Christmas? Well, that means different things to different people. For some, it might be just asking, have you got all your Christmas decorations up? You know? I suppose I should put that on the calendar. You know, it's hard to get excited about crawling up on a ladder now when it's 20 degrees with bare fingers trying to put lights up. But some of them, you know, they're thinking, have you finished your Christmas shopping? Or have you mailed all your Christmas cards, if you're still mailing out cards? Have you put all the places that you're supposed to be sometime this month? Are you ready for Christmas? Well, we need to be thinking about what lies ahead for us, not just what's on the calendar. And sometimes it gets referred to as the Christmas rush. Sometimes Christ can kind of get lost in the shuffle if we're not careful. But as we think about this, getting ready for Christmas, more than just simply the activities, but also thinking about our own attitudes, our own behavior. And hear people talking about having the Christmas spirit. Well, that probably means, again, different things to different people. But what's in our own hearts and minds as we think about Christmas? And we stop and think about what Christmas really is. And, you know, we think about the Lord Jesus coming from heaven's glory, God becoming flesh, and being born as a baby, coming into this world ultimately to be our Savior, to then go to the cross to lay his life down voluntarily, becoming our substitute, and providing the salvation for all who would believe. And again, we can't have the cradle without the cross. They both come together. And he came to seek and to save those that were lost. And that's all of us. And so we think about what Christmas is, but then how do we approach it ourselves? You know, what's different about December from the other 11 months? We want to turn our attention here a little bit about the portion of Scripture dealing with the arrival of the Lord Jesus. We're looking at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, and we'll read that if you want to follow along with me. Matthew 1, 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, you stop and think about Joseph. You know, he's not one that stands out in the spotlight for very long. We don't know an awful lot about him. But I think there's some things that we can learn about his attitude, about his actions, that we could implement into our own lives as we think about Christmas and its coming. First thing that we want to notice here about Joseph is that we need to be ready to accept God's will for our lives, whatever that might be. And Joseph was open to God's leading, God's will in his life. And, you know, if you put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a few minutes, and you think, and again, this is, we don't have a verse to back all of these things up, but some of it we can kind of surmise. Joseph probably thought his life was pretty well planned out. You know, he was pledged to marry Mary, you know, they made the arrangements that would be necessary for a wedding to take place. He, again, knew who he wanted to marry, figured they'd probably settle down in Nazareth and continue his carpenter business there, and kind of like the storybooks, they would live happily ever after. Well, again, I'm guessing on part of that. But then Mary comes to him and said, Joseph, guess what? I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. That must have hit him like a ton of bricks. You know, he thought Mary loved him as much as he loved her, and seeming that now she apparently must have been unfaithful. He knew that child wasn't his. And the only conclusion that he could come up with was that it's somebody else's baby. And she'd broken that bond of trust. Now, according to the law, Mary should be stoned because of her actions. She should be stoned to death. But Joseph loved her too much for that to take place, and so he decided to make this divorce kind of a quiet thing. And as he's thinking about this, though, we see the angel of the Lord comes to speak to him in a dream and basically saying to him, Joseph, trust God on this one. God's in on this. You may not understand everything that's going on, all the reasons why or anything else involved. He may not have even understood who or what the Holy Spirit was. But yet we see here God was in this. Is it playing a tune for us? Is the green light still on? Oh my. Anyway, so we see here that Joseph apparently is a man of faith. And sometimes it's a bit hard to live by faith. I mean, things come into our lives that really kind of rock our world. We don't understand what in the world is going on. We don't know why this is happening. But that's where faith comes in. And we learn to trust God, even when we don't necessarily know what's going on ourselves. I kind of look at it this way. If it's got to be between me and God, one of us knowing what's going on, it's better that God knows what's going on than it is me. And he'll fill me in on the details as I need to know. But sometimes it's a bit hard to live by faith. There are questions that we have, questions that we'd like to have answered. We kind of want to know what's going to happen in the future. We kind of want to know how this is all going to work out. And the thing is, though, God doesn't run his plans, his will by us, just to kind of see, what do you think about this? And thing is, God knows what's best for us. And he's not leaving it up for opinions, okay? And God always, and the thing is, God doesn't always do what we expect he might do. He has his own reason. Seeing as God knows the end from the beginning, he knows what's going to happen today, tomorrow, next week, next year, you know, and what, how that's going to impact our lives. And so God, in his planning, takes all this into account. All we can look at is what's happening right now, okay? We have a limited scope of vision, but God is able to look off into the future. He knows what's going on. And the thing is, Joseph trusted the Lord. I'm sure he had a list of questions that if he had the opportunity to ask the Lord, but he realized that God ultimately knew what was best for him. And he couldn't improve on God's plan for his life. Nor was it up to him to try to talk God out of God's plan, but to go ahead and do what God told him to do, and that was to marry Mary. Now, we may find ourselves in a similar position as Joseph. We think we know how things are going to turn out, but we're not really 100% on that. We may have some idea what's going to happen here in the month of December in our lives. We may have it kind of all figured out. We've got all kinds of different things written in on our calendar, and we're just assuming all that's going to take place just like we kind of planned. And it may happen that way. It might not happen that way. Thing is, Christmas comes and as a time of peace, but yet if you were living in Ukraine about now, you wouldn't necessarily realize that as the bombs are going off, missiles coming overhead. Christmas comes as a time of joy, but for many people, it's a sad time. They're especially missing family, loved ones, other situations in their lives, more than any other time of the year. Christmas time comes, and it's a time of love, but there's still an awful lot of hatred out there in this world. And you sometimes you hear the news, and you think, what could possess a person to do that sort of thing to some other person? You know, we might cry out like Joseph may have. We don't know for sure. But God, how can this be? How can this be happening? And yet, we also need to be like Joseph in the sense that he heard that voice from the Lord that said, trust me. Trust me. That's, life is a lot like that. We have to learn. You know, it's pretty easy to trust God when everything's going great guns. Everything's going our way. It's a little more difficult sometimes when we're facing opposition one way or another. And we need to continue to trust the Lord. Trust me, even when it doesn't make sense. If we had a lot more time, I'd share with you some of those things in my own life. I think, this doesn't make sense, God. Why? You know, and I've asked that question myself a number of times. Why? Not just why me, although that's been there sometimes. And sometimes there's a little gap between why me and why not me, you know. Why should it just always be somebody else? But we trust God even when it doesn't make sense. And God wants that to be true of all of us. Isaiah 55:9 says, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, the thing is, we may never understand all there is to know what God is doing. But he's saying, trust me. I know what I'm doing. Now, sometimes we might be tempted to replace what goes on in the world on God. You know, there are times when our government's saying, trust me. Dr. Fauci saying, trust me. You know, and you realize that wasn't a good idea, all right? But God won't ever pull the wool over our eyes. He doesn't talk out of both sides of his mouth. He doesn't say one thing and mean something else, okay? He won't say one thing to one group and something else to another group. He's going to be honest with us, all right? But at the same time, he's not always going to tell you what's coming your way. Part of it is learning to trust him. And God is in charge, and we need to learn to trust him. And this Christmas, for Joseph, he was learning to trust God. We need to learn to trust God. Good times and bad times. When it makes sense and when it doesn't make any sense. We learn to trust God and his will. Well, secondly, we need to learn to care about other people. Learn to care about other people. Look beyond ourselves. Look beyond what's just good for me. You know, sometimes you talk to people and you get in a bit of a conversation and it ends up, it's all about them. You know, they're willing to talk for a long time, telling you all about themselves and their issues and problems and everything. But they never bother to turn it around and say, well, how are you doing? There's no interest in what's going on in your life. It's just their life is what is all important. Well, Joseph wasn't like this. He had an assignment from God. It actually was a pretty simple one, as we'll see. But, you know, we stop and think and we need to realize that, you know, a Christmas play isn't always exactly the way it took place, all right? And it depends on kind of who's writing it. Some of the Christmas cards that you see or other things that you might see, some Christmas film or something, oftentimes you're seeing Mary sitting there next to the cradle, you know, with a halo on. Okay, folks, Mary wasn't running around with a halo, all right? That's an artist's rendition of it, all right? Mary wasn't holy, all right? Mary was a sinner just like the rest of us. She needed a savior just like everybody else did. But yet sometimes she's portrayed that way. But sometimes you see Joseph, you know, he's kind of standing off to the side, you know, just observing everything. And we've got the shepherds and, you know, they're pretty excited about coming in to see what's going on. And I don't want to mess up everybody's idea of Christmas, but at the same time, I kind of like to make sure we got stuff straight. And not everything that we see is always straight. We haven't got it up here yet. And I've been tempted at times to pull the wise men out of the picture because they weren't there at Bethlehem, there in the manger and all the rest of that stuff. They came a couple of years later, all right? But that's not majoring on that. But we see here Joseph is there. The shepherds are there, and oftentimes he's kind of the quiet one of the bunch, and he's got an important role here, but he's not having a lot to say about it all. But his bottom line, his task was to take care of Mary and take care of Jesus, and he had to care for the needs of other people, not just look out for old Joseph, old number one, but to look out for his family that God had given him. And men, if the Lord has blessed you with a family, you have a wife, you need to care for your wife. If God has blessed you with children. You need to care for your wife and your children. And that's your responsibility. And for some reason, you are not, you don't have a family, you don't have a wife, you don't have kids. Oftentimes, God will impress upon you somebody else that maybe you need to particularly care for. And the question is, are we fulfilling that responsibility? You know, God brings people into our lives for a reason. It's not just an accident. And he may be bringing people into your life that he wants you to reach out to and to demonstrate care for. You know, at Thanksgiving and Christmas, we probably are maybe a little bit more sensitive to the needs of other people. You're prompted to be thinking about the poor or the homeless or this, that, and the other group. You know, and if yours like mine, there's hardly a day goes by that there isn't a flood of letters in the mail, you know, looking for you to help them out. And I'm sure many of them are worthwhile groups to give towards, but you have to make choices. And even as you're thinking about individuals, you know, which one is the most important? Which one's number one? Which one's number two? Which one's number three? And you have to make some choices there in priorities. And sometimes that might be a little bit frustrating. But at the same time, rather than just say, you know, I don't have time for all this. And we kind of just, you know, wipe them all out of the way. We don't seek to reach out to anybody. You know, we have to be careful that we don't do that. We might be tempted to do it. But it's not just as individuals, but as a church. You know, wouldn't that be great to be known as the church that cares? You know? That needs that we become aware of, we try to respond to. You know, here's something to consider. You know, if you stop and think a minute, if everybody was just like me, okay, right? We're not, but if people were just like me, the whole church, would it be considered a caring church? Do I demonstrate care for other people, or am I just pretty much looking out for what I want and what I need? You know, this is something that we can do. We don't have to be a big church. We don't have to be a mega church. We don't have to be a rich church to be able to care for one another. And it's a challenge because the temptation is to, you know, kind of withdraw and to just look after ourselves, me and my family, my needs, me first. And God wants us to look out beyond that. And one of my favorite stories is about a young couple. Had a 18-month-old son, and I was asking Lindsay how old Titus was now. I guess he's 16 months, so he's kind of in the same range. But this young couple had an 18-month-old son, and they'd gone to spend a few days to be with grandparents, and Christmas at that year, kind of like this year, falls on Sunday. But the young father had to be back to work on Monday, and so they went to church together, and they were heading back home and had a ways to drive, and they'd said their goodbyes. And as you're traveling, as if you're out on Christmas, it depends where you're at, but sometimes there's not too many filling stations around to stop and get some gas or a place to eat. Maureen and I did that one year. We were on vacation at Thanksgiving time. And you come to find out that there's not much open on Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving dinner was some kind of snacks at a Quick Trip. they didn't. So anyway, they stopped at this gas station. There was a little restaurant. And it was kind of dimly lit. And they went in thinking they were the only ones there. Sat down and ordered something to eat. And as they're doing so, their little son, Eric, seemed to see somebody that they hadn't noticed. And he's saying, "Hi there." Hi, Dare. He was, I don't know if he was from Wisconsin or not, but he was kind of combining hi and there, so it came out of Hi, Dare. And whenever he said that, there was a response from back kind of in the corner, a little alcove, a little table back in there, that somebody was responding to him. Hi there, little boy. Hi, little boy. And as they looked back into this little alcove where the voice was coming from, they saw an elderly fellow there, kind of old and ragged and tattered looking fellow. His coat was way too big for him, and it was torn. And his trousers were, you could see, been dragging on the floor. And his shoes had holes in them, and actually one of his toes sticking out. He had an old hat that was kind of cocked off to the side. His face was unshaven, and as he smiled, I could see that he didn't have any teeth. And yet, for some reason, Eric was attracted to this old fellow. And he kept saying, "Hi, Dare. Hi, Dare." And the old man wouldn't respond, and finally the man said, "Little boy, do you know how to patty cake?" Well, of course the little guy knows how to patty cake, you know, and we're patty caking away. And Eric's doing his patty cake thing, and then he says, "Little boy, do you know how to play peekaboo?" Well, of course, that started another round, you know, we're playing peekaboo for a while. And so Eric was hiding his eyes and playing peekaboo. And there was an instant rapport there between Eric and this older fellow. His parents are not maybe enjoying this near as much as Eric is. They're feeling a little uneasy about what's going on here. And a husband says to his wife, "Come on, let's hurry up and eat and get out of here." And so they gulp their food down. And he says, "I'll pay for the food. You get out the front door here." And so she starts out towards the door, hoping she's going to get out without any problems. But as she passed by this old gentleman, Eric's reaching out, both arms, you know, towards this older fellow. And the old man sat there looking up at the mother and asked, "Would you let me hold your baby?" And she really didn't have a whole lot of choice, because about this time he's ready to leap into this guy's arms. And he lunged into his arms, and it said he cradled Eric in one of his hands and patted him on the back. Eric put his arms up around his neck, gave him a good hug, rested his head on his shoulders. The old man, closing his eyes, started to talk to him. The tears started running down his face. Held him for a moment. Then he looked up at the mom and said, "You take good care of that boy now." And she said, "Yes, sir, I sure will." And he handed Eric back and said, "Thank you. Thank you so much. You've given me the best Christmas ever." What could we do to help somebody else have a better Christmas? Show a little bit of care for somebody that maybe doesn't get much otherwise. Who should we be caring about? Well, Christmas came because God had planned it so. It was a part of his plan, his will. And then, too, for Joseph, he cared for Mary, for Jesus. But it might be also a lesson to teach us to care about others, too. How would we have responded if we'd have been that couple? Maybe that mom hanging on to that little one. Would we have let him hold him? You know, we think about the lessons we can learn from Joseph. And to prepare our own hearts for Christmas, we need to be ready to accept God's will, whatever that might be. We need to learn to care about others. And then thirdly, we need to learn to give whatever we have to give. You know, we can't give what we don't have. But we can give of what we do have. Some say, "Well, if I had a lot of money, I'd give this, that, and the other thing to people or church." But since they don't have a lot, they don't give anything. And, you know, the Lord talks about the tithe. You know, we give of how God has blessed us with, all right? It's a proportion. But, you know, the Bible also tells us that if we're stingy with what we do have, what we have been given, there's no reason to think that God is going to bless us with any more. Let's look here at a third thing here, and we see here that Christmas came because Joseph gave. He gave of what he had to give. And the thing is, there's a lot of things about all this that Joseph didn't know about. Joseph didn't know that after Jesus was born, that he and Mary and Jesus would have to pack up and get out of town in a hurry and travel off to Egypt. Had he known all this was going to take place, maybe he could have brought some of his tools along. But I'm sure he was traveling light, thinking we're going to go back home anyway. He didn't know that he was going to be separated from his hometown and his loved ones for a long period of time. He didn't know all the demands that were going to be made upon him on his time and his pocketbook. He knew, again, whatever God asked of him, he was going to follow through with. And we see here again, Joseph was far from home. And he ends up in Egypt. But yet he still gave what he had. And that was his love and his protection. It isn't always just dollars and cents. But again, Christmas. God gave himself at Christmas. He loved us enough. You know, Bible tells us he loved us while we were yet sinners. He didn't say, you know, when you get your life cleaned up, come back and see me. No, he loved us while we were yet sinners. Because he knew we couldn't get rid of the sin. Only he could do that. And so he gave us his best. He gave us his son. He gave us what we needed. Maybe not necessarily what we wanted. He gave us a Savior. Because that's what we all had need of. We see here that Joseph gave of himself there. You know, he may not have had a lot of gifts to give, but what he did have, he gave. He loved Mary. He loved Jesus. He's willing to do whatever was needed to do to take care of them, whether it was in Bethlehem or whether it was off in Egypt someplace. And we see this kind of illustrated in one of the Christmas programs, and you've probably heard one similar to this, but let's listen in. Well, we've got Wally. He's a seventh grader now. He's a little bit bigger than all the other students in his Sunday school class. His mother had been an alcoholic, and when he was born, as a result of it, Wally just didn't quite have all the mental capabilities that maybe some of the other kids had. Well, Christmas time came, and his class decided they were going to put on a Christmas program. And since he was the biggest, Wally was selected to be the innkeeper. After all, the innkeeper is supposed to be kind of the villain in that program. And so they coached Wally to be as mean as he could possibly be. The night came for the Christmas play, and in it we got Mary and Joseph, and they're in Bethlehem, and they go to the inn. And they knock on the door, and Wally opens the door. And he, what do you want? Just like he'd been coached. He was gruff as he could be. And Joseph says, well, we need a room for tonight, and we need a place to stay. Well, you're going to have to go somewhere else. There's no room here. And Joseph says, my wife's expecting a baby. She might be having this baby tonight. Isn't there some place that's protected away from the cold that she could have to deliver this child? Nope, Wally said, there's no room here at the inn. And suddenly, there's silence on the stage. You know, it's like that silence when you know somebody's supposed to be saying something. And if somebody's off to the side saying, be gone, be gone. Only Wally's not saying anything. Finally, he gets with it here a little bit, and he says, be gone. Well, Mary and Joseph start to turn away to leave. And just as they did, Wally says, wait a minute, wait. You can have my room. you can imagine the directors about, you know, ching, there goes the play. But, you know, maybe Wally had the right idea. You know, maybe he knew better than anybody else what Spirit Christmas is all about. It's giving, not getting. It was caring for others, helping to meet somebody else's need. You know, and that's what really the Lord wants from us. He's given himself to us. He wants us, in turn, to give ourselves to him. Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross. He died to provide salvation for all of us. Not because we were had anything particularly good or worthy about us that we deserved it. But he gave us the greatest gift of all, one that we could never repay. How about it today? Have you given yourself, your life to the Lord Jesus? Do you want his will to be accomplished in your life? Are you willing to learn to care for others, even as we see Joseph did? To give of what you have, not what you wish you had. Are you ready for Christmas? I don't know if you're going to be able to get all your shopping done. I don't know if you're going to be able to attend all the events that you may have on your calendar. But I trust that your attitude might touch upon some of these things that we've touched upon here today. We might learn some lessons here about Joseph. Learning to be willing to accept God's will for our lives, even though it may be something far different than what we had expected. Willing to care for others, not just ourselves. And willing to give of what we have to give. That's really a part of what Christmas is all about. And that we, like Joseph or Wally, might be willing to reach out and bless those around about us. And you know, it's not just us helping others. Sometimes the hard lesson that we need to learn is to allow others to minister to us. You know, sometimes we get so independent. I can do it. I don't need any help. And, you know, we pray about things, and oftentimes God uses other people to help meet those needs in our life. And they come around to help, and we stiff arm them. God says, no, let them help. Okay? Then both are blessed, both those who give and those that receive. The Lord Jesus ultimately gave his all for us. Spread out his arms, open wide. He's there to receive us. I trust that you've come to know Christ as your personal Savior. But don't let it end there. He wants you to be a satisfied customer. He wants you to tell that same message to somebody else, that they might know that Jesus' arms are open to them too, that they too can come to know the Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Christmas account. We thank you for the life of Joseph. We pray that you might impress upon our own hearts and lives. Maybe there are some things that we ought to think about, maybe even do differently than we have in the past. Pray that you challenge us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to apply these truths to our life today. And you'll mold us and make us into what you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Like for us to sing another Christmas song, if you would, please. Number 145. 145, O Come All You Faithful. 145. Thank you.
most of you are aware, we have a bare tree, okay? And we also have a lot of bins out there in the foyer with Christmas ornaments and lights and that sort of thing. So if you'd like to stick around in a few minutes and help decorate the tree, we've got wreaths down here that need to go up. We've got a manger scene to set up here on the communion table. I'm not sure what all else is out there, but if you'd like to stick around and help, you're more than welcome to do so. All right. I think we've got it kind of standing up straight. And as long as it stays that way, right? If you folks ever sitting out there and you start seeing it doing one of these things, wave at me. We had that happen once. I was telling somebody about it. We could tell it wasn't quite right to start with, and so we had a rope tied onto the leg of the organ. But we had a leaning tower there for a little while. That's pretty sick feeling when you come in and the tree's laying down and all the ornaments and the water's all over. And it's sticky water by the way, too. Anyway, enough stories. So if you're able to stay with us, great. Pick up a few tracks, I was following some city truck the other day that says, don't litter. Well, we don't want you to litter, but you can leave tracks at the gas station and the restaurants or wherever else that you're going to go. You know, let these people follow you, okay? Lord bless you. Thanks for coming today. Amen.